Welcome to day 13 of our study of the Westminster Standards, and the subject is providence. Now, a couple of days ago, we finished looking at God's eternal decree or plan, and we learned in Catechism question 14 that God executes his decree or carries out his plan through the works of creation and providence. And yesterday, we looked at creation, how God brought the creation into existence out of nothing. And today we look at providence, which is how God operates the creation, or governs the creation, or orders the creation, and carries it out to a way that brings glory to God. So let's look first at Westminster Larger Catechism, question 18. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are his most holy, wise and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures, ordering them and all their actions to his own glory. Let's look at God's holy governing and preserving of his creatures. Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. His works are wise. Psalm 104:24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And also Isaiah 28:29, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Also, God powerfully preserves and governs his creatures. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And God also governs his creatures. Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. God orders all his creatures and their actions. Matthew 10:29-31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And the story of Joseph, Genesis 45:7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And down at the bottom of the post, we have a link to a little more detail on the study of Joseph, because that is a truly magnificent work of God's providence, or governing all of his creatures and their actions to his own glory. And that's the final phrase, to his own glory, Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever, amen. And Isaiah 63:14, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Now, it may be that as Americans living in the 21st century, we don't understand this concept of providence as well as it was understood, say, in 1776 in the colonies in America. Certainly not as well as it was back in 1647 when the work on the Larger Catechism and the Confession was being completed by the Westminster Assembly. So down at the bottom of the post, there are several links, which I think are pretty important for people like us who are basically victims of educational malpractice. When was the last time you heard the word providence? When was the last time you studied the word providence? Did you ever have a class in school, in grade school, high school, college, where you discussed providence and the doctrine of providence? But it's a huge theme. And the link at the bottom of the page called God's Providence, Man's Coercion is a list of some, not all by any means, but just a few of the noteworthy examples of providence in American history. And the use of the word providence, the doctrine of providence, and how it was believed, how we saw it in action. And it's very important. For example, even in the Declaration of Independence, the last part of it says, "For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Everyone who signed the Constitution believed that they had been privileged to achieve independence from Britain and create this new government based on the consent of the governed and so forth, that everything was a result of divine providence, of God's supernatural and miraculous intervention into what we might call the natural course of events in favor of liberty in America. And it was in the Declaration of Independence. It was in the treaty between the United States and Britain. It was in the writing of the Constitution. For example, Ben Franklin, let's look at what he said when they were having some problems reaching resolution on certain issues in the writing of the Constitution. He said, "In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain those that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in that service." Now, this is an example of providence and the belief that America's founders had in providence, and it is the exact opposite of deism. Now, most of us were trained to believe that the founding fathers were a bunch of deists who believed in a clockmaker god, a god that created things but then just kind of walked away, wound up the world, and left it to tick under natural law, but doesn't get involved, doesn't intervene, doesn't change things, doesn't answer prayer. All of that is nonsense, according to the Founding Fathers. Nobody who signed the Constitution was a deist, not a single one. They believed in providence, and that's the opposite of deism. Now, we see more. I point out here that Franklin quoted some of the verses that are in the larger catechism proof text. They were well known to the founders. And the phrases like the invisible hand, that book by, the discussion of the invisible hand, that concept in the book called The Wealth of Nations, published in the same year as the Declaration of Independence by Adam Smith. People believed in a personal God who hears prayers and changes things. And that's the opposite of deism. It's also the opposite of Baalism in the Bible. And Baalism is the belief that nature works all by itself. Deism is the belief that nature works all by itself, that it has natural laws that are inherent in nature. And that's the opposite of the belief in providence, which is that God directly intervenes. God is governing, God is preserving, God is ordering all their actions. Everything is operating according to God's conscious purposing. That's providence. We'll see a little bit more of this in the Westminster Confession of Faith in Chapter 5. And let's read Section 1. God, the great creator of all things, does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise and glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. My clock says we're already about 10 minutes along, and I'm trying to keep these down to 10 or 15 minutes. If we go through all the proof texts for this first section of the chapter on providence, we'll go probably about 18 minutes, I suspect. So, just for the interests of brevity and keeping to our allotted time, we'll postpone looking at the proof texts of this section of the confession and tomorrow. But I'd like to remind you again to, maybe if you have some extra time, to take a look at some of the links at the bottom. There's actually a lot of material there in the For Further Study section. But I think it's really powerful and important that we appreciate what everyone else appreciated. Everybody in 1776, everybody in the days when the confession was written, they were talking about these things. This was in their schools. This was in their daily conversation. This was in their, from their leaders, their politicians. They heard about providence. Everybody knew what providence was. Today, nobody knows what providence is. So it's important for us to get some background, because we have been spiritually and educationally deprived. And so there's lots of material at the bottom. There's lots of quotes from America's founding fathers. There's the story of Joseph in Egypt. There's a whole big discussion of how the invisible hand works according to the thinking of people like Adam Smith. The invisible hand is a very remarkable belief, and it's the opposite of Obamacare. God care is very different from Obamacare. And people who don't understand providence can't trust in providence. They don't know, they don't believe that God governs and makes things work out. That if we obey the laws of nature and of nature's God, we can have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. People who don't believe in providence, politicians come along and say, you people, you need us to help things work out. You need us to bail out the businesses. You need us to provide stimulus things and all these things that only government can do, because you people, you're messing things up, but we can help make things work. We will bring order and peace to your society if you vote for us. Well, that's the exact opposite of providence. That's the opposite of the invisible hand. Invisible hand thinking led to capitalism, but the opposite, deism, Baalism, they lead to socialism. And then we have an article that describes the doctrine of Baalism in the Bible, the doctrine of nature worship instead of God worship. So there's a whole bunch of material there, and it would be good to fill in the gaps that your secular education has left in your thinking and in your understanding of Scripture. So we'll see you tomorrow with more on providence.